Krishna. So we're reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, starting with chapter 2, text 3. And before that, we're doing a cell phone check and making sure that the mobiles are all in silent mode. Klaibhyam ma smagama partha naitat tvai upapadyate kshudram hridaya darabalyam chaktvotishtha parantapa klaibhyam ma smagama partha Naita Tvayupapadyate Shudram Hridya Darbalyam Chaktvotishta Parantapa Klaibhyam Masmagama Parta Naita Tvayupapadyate Shudram Hridya Darbalyam Chaktvotishta parantapa. Klaibhyam ma smagama partha. Naita tvayupapadyate. Shudram hridaya darbhayam. Chaktvotishta parantapa. Klaibhyam ma smagama partha naita tvayupapadyate kshudram hridaya darbhayam chaktvotishta parantapa. Someone else. Klaibhyam ma smagama partha Naita tvayupapadyate. O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Purport. Arjuna was addressed as the son of Pritha, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna. If the son of a kshatriya declines to fight, he is a kshatriya in name only. And if the son of a brahmin acts impiously, he is a brahmin in name only. Such kshatriyas and brahmins are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a kshatriya. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Arjuna might argue that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. Such false magnanimity was not approved by any authority. Therefore, such magnanimity or so-called nonviolence should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna. Klaibhyam ma smagama partha naita tvayupapadyate kshudram hridaya daurabalyam Chaktvotishta parantapa. Arjuna might have expected that Krishna would be appreciative of Arjuna's saintly sentiments. But Krishna, quite the contrary, says, what is this rubbish? This is not befitting you. Naitva na etat tvayi upapadyate. What's befitting for one person is not befitting for another. For a Brahmin, this might have been laudable. Yes, he's nonviolent, he's peaceful, he's forgiving, he's magnanimous, he's kind. But a Kshatriya has to be strong. The duties are different, the sentiments are different. The saying is that you don't use a chisel for a screwdriver. Each tool has its own purpose. So the Brahmin has his purpose, the Kshatriya has his purpose. If the Kshatriya starts acting like a Brahmin, that's not right. When you call a policeman, suppose a robbery is going on or some illegal activity is going on, and you call the policeman and the policeman shows up and he says, well, you know, understand, the guy comes from a poor family. And then what would his mother think if we arrested him? That's unbefitting a policeman. Policeman has to show up and pull out his gun or pull up out his stick and say, hey! That's a policeman. If we wanted someone who would be kind, and then we'd call a priest, not a policeman. So this is unbefitting for you. This is not your prescribed duty to become soft and gentle and forgiving and mild and meek. A meek kshatriya is not wanted. Soryam tejo dhritir daksham yudhe chapya palayanam danam ishara bhavascha kshatram karma sabhavaja. These are the qualities of the kshatriya. Heroism, power, strength. And for the Brahmins, sama, dhamma, tapa, socham, kshanti, arjavam, as a forgiveness from the Brahmins, then that's all right. But not from the kshatriyas. So Krishna says, this is impotence. The virya, the kshatriya is supposed to be viryavan, he's supposed to be powerful, potent, and to become... have your bow falling from your hand and to be afflicted with tears, and this is impotence. That's Krishna's verdict. Kshudram, Tridya Dorabalyam. This is the central point. It's Tridya Dorabalyam, weakness of heart. It's weakness of heart. The Kshatriyas are supposed to be strong-hearted. One kingdom, king of England was called Richard the Lion-hearted. Should have a heart like a lion, a king, not a heart like a lamb. If he'd been called Richard the Lamb-hearted, that means worthless. What kind of king is that? He has to be lion-hearted. Therefore, we find very often that Kshatriyas, they're called Singh. They're like lions. Prithviraj Singh. So, Kshudram. This is paltry, petty, unworthy weakness of heart. Chaktvotushta. Give it up and just throw it away and get up. All this rubbish, put it aside and get up. Parantapa, chastiser of the enemies. You're the chastiser of the enemies. And what is this? And get up. It surprising, because in the first chapter, Arjuna is given all these very nice arguments that I shouldn't be greedy. If they're greedy, why should I be greedy? If they're irreligious, why should I be irreligious? Why should we bring misfortune upon ourselves? Why should we bring sinful activities upon ourselves? How could I oppose in battle such great persons? Okay. Please turn off your mobiles, those who have not yet done so. So Krishna says this is all pretty adorable, you know. Weakness of heart. He doesn't say, yes, this is saintliness. Weakness. That's Krishna's conclusion. Any questions?
It is said that Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas in the mode of passion and so on. And it is said that one should stick to one's prescribed duty. At the same time, it is said that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one should come to the mode of goodness. So if a Kshatriya is supposed to be in the mode of passion, and if he is supposed to continue this prescribed duty, then it seems to be contradictory.
It does. Interesting question. Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, Nistraigunyobhavarjuna. He didn't tell Arjuna, come to the mode of goodness, come to the transcendental position. That's the real position. We don't want to be in goodness or passion or ignorance. We want to be on the transcendental platform. And apart from that, Arjuna goes into the mode of goodness when the going gets tough. When he's faced with a difficult task, all of a sudden he goes, flips to the mode of goodness. It's like a Brahmin, he's non-violent and mild and gentle unless someone insults him, and then he flips to the mode of passion. No. He's supposed to stick to the mode of passion. So the Brahmin is supposed to stick to the mode of goodness. The Kshatriya is supposed to stick to the mode of passion, at least outwardly. Even if his heart is purified, still he should perform his duty. Still he should perform his duty. Interesting question there. Therefore, Nistraigunya. Don't be in any of the modes of nature. You may act as a Brahmin, as a Kshatriya, as a Vaishya, but be transcendental by being situated in Krishna consciousness. Is that all right? Was there another question, or should we go on to the next verse? Okay, next verse it is. Right, because we're supposed to cover a few verses this evening? Okay. Arjuna vacha katam bhijma maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsyami pujarhav arisudana. Arjuna said, O killer of the enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhijma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? Purport. Respectable superiors like Bhijma the grandfather and Dronacharya the teacher are always worshipable. Even if they attack, they should not be counterattacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. Even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. Then how is it possible for Arjuna to counterattack them? Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather, Ugrasen, or his teacher, Sandipani Muni? These were some of the arguments offered by Arjuna to Krishna. Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam. Later in Bhagavad Gita it will be said that these are the right austerities for the body or corporal austerities for a person in the mode of goodness, or any person who's making spiritual progress. He should be respectful to God, to the Brahmins, to the spiritual master, and pragya. Pragya means superior persons. The mother, the father, the guru, even the king, elderly persons, they're all superior sannyasis or Brahmins. This is a sign of culture. Where people are respectful to their elders, you can understand this is a cultured person. The superior may say, hey, what are you doing? You fool. The father may say to the son, you fool, what are you doing? But the son can't say to the father, hey, who do you think you are calling me a fool? That's outrageous. That's never done by any cultured person, only by Westerners. A cultured person, no, he'll look down, he may think to himself that I didn't do anything. Why is he giving me such a hard time? Even if he thinks that way, which is not such a nice way to think, but he won't say anything. Even the elder brother, the elder brother is superior. I've given the example several times that in Saudi Arabia, at one point, the brothers of the original king inherited the kingdom, and the eldest brother became the king. The other brothers became the finance minister, defense minister, and so on, just as Yudhisthira became the king and his brothers became his assistants. So the brother who was, I think, the finance minister, he was sharp as a tack. He was so smart. And whenever any of the Western diplomats came to the kingdom, they immediately headed for his office. And there they would talk about everything, and the diplomats would get the latest news and insights and how things are moving and everything. They would ask their questions there, and he would be... But when they came to the court, the brother was silent. He wouldn't say a word because he's the younger brother. So respectful to superiors. So Arjuna is saying, here's Bhishma Dev, who's respected by everyone. He's the grandfather of the Kurus, the Pandavas, and Dronacharya, who's our military teacher. So I shouldn't be picking up a bow to oppose them. I should be offering them worship. Pujarha Varisudana. They deserve to be worshipped, not opposed. So I may fight with Duryodhana and with Dushasan and those people, even if that itself is difficult, but Drona, Bhishma, Acharya Drona, Bhishma Pitamaha, how is it possible? Would you do that? You're known as Kamsa Nishudana, but you're not known as the killer of Ugrasena, or the killer of Sandipani Muni. So this is the argument. I should be worshipping them, not fighting them. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktum baiksham apihaloke hatvartha kamams tu guruni haiva bunjiya bhogan rudhira pratigtan. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. Purport. According to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in an abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination is fit to be abandoned. Bhishma and Drona were obliged to take the side of Duryodhan because of his financial assistance, although they should not have accepted such a position simply on financial considerations. Under the circumstances, they have lost the respectability of teachers. But Arjun thinks that nevertheless, they remain his superiors, and therefore to enjoy material profits after killing them would mean to enjoy spoils tainted with blood. Mahanubhavan, they're great souls. But these great souls have lost their discrimination. Karya vijanataha. In the Shastra, it said that a guru or superior who's lost his sense of what to do and what not to do should be abandoned. He loses his sense of discrimination and performs abominable activities. He should be given up. He should be given up. But Arjun says, no, they're my superiors. They're great souls. Better for me to become a beggar. Again, a sadhu. Better to be a sadhu than to fight. And artakamams. All right, they're interested in artha. But why should I be interested in artha? Bunjiya bhogan rudhira pratigtan. Everything that I will want to enjoy will be tainted with blood. That means he's thinking about enjoyment. That it's all right, we're interested in enjoyment, but this is not going to be enjoyable. We'd like to have a kingdom, we'd like to have all, but not at the cost is too high. We won't be able to enjoy. A material consideration. Material consideration. On the whole, Arjuna's objections are on the bodily conception of life, and therefore Krishna is going to smash Arjuna's arguments. Punjiya bhogan. Bhoga, enjoyment. So how will we enjoy after killing our superiors? Not, it's my duty to do it. That Krishna will argue later. You may enjoy or not enjoy. That's beside the point. It's your duty. Not that I do my duty when I enjoy it. The policeman comes. Well, is this going to be fun or not? It may be fun or not fun. He may find that the person he has to oppose is a friend or a relative. At that time, it doesn't matter. It's my duty. It's my duty. It may be enjoyable or it may be painful, but I have to do my duty. Any questions here? Okay. Nachaitad vidma kataran no guriyo yadva jayema yadiva no jayeyu Yan eva hatva nadjivi shamas te vastita pramukhe dhartarastra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Purport. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be the only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them, and their cause was justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely proved that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but also highly enlightened, and he had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there's no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there's no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. So now here Srila Prabhupada takes the other side. We find this throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, where he'll give one side of the picture, and then in the next purport he seems to be saying the opposite. That's because there's more than one way of looking at things. In the previous purport, it was Arjuna's weakness of heart. It was his confusion. It was his petty-mindedness. Now here, it's his good qualities as a devotee, as a godly person. A rascal wouldn't consider. Maybe my grandfather, maybe even that we find that Duryodhana, he's abusing Bhishma, verbally abusing him. You're favoring them. You're not fighting for us. Huh? You're pretending to be on my side, but really you're on their side. You know, he's quite ready to abuse the commander-in-chief of his own army and his grandfather. But Arjuna, no. He's considering that he's my respectable superior. Dronacharya is my respectable superior. So here it's counted as a godly quality. A godly person will think, is this right? Is this wrong? What is my duty? And he'll tend toward the godly attributes. He'll be humble. He'll be respectful. He'll have all of these divine qualities. Later, Mahasucha Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata. Krishna will tell Arjuna, there are two kinds of qualities in this world, two sets of attributes, Daivi Sampad and Asuri Sampad. Divine and demonic natures. And he tells Arjuna, don't worry, you have the divine qualities. Mahasucha Sampadam Daivim. So Arjuna had these divine qualities, and that's what comes out here. He doesn't care about winning a kingdom. He's detached. Let them take the kingdom. They're rascals. They want to enjoy. Let them have it. Let the rascals have it. Materially attached person, he'll fight over something. They're just like children. They'll fight over something until they tear it apart. But they won't give in. But Arjuna, let them have the kingdom. Let them have the kingdom. They're the sons of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is our respectable father. When our father died, then Dhritarashtra brought us up, and now these are his sons. If we kill his sons, how painful it will be for Dhritarashtra. We wouldn't even want to live. Yaneva hatva na jujivi shama. If we killed Dhritarashtra's sons and Bhishma and Drona, we wouldn't even want to live under such circumstances. The demonic person thinks, let me kill my brother, let me kill my father. What is that, Aurangzeb? Throw his father in the prison and get the kingdom. This is the demonic nature. Kamsa, let me kill my nephews. Anything. For sense gratification, anything. This is the demonic mentality. Just like the modern governments. All right, start a war. It'll be good for the economy. We can grab their land, we can grab their resources, and we can become supreme in that region, and it won't be so bad. Maybe we'll lose 5 or 10,000 soldiers. Maybe they'll lose a few 100,000 people. This is a batch of whatever they are. They're not our guys. What do we care? Calculating. For only this much, we could get that much. And we don't care if it's religious, irreligious. Our purposes will be served. And what's good for us is good for the world. It's good for us to be on top, because if they were on top, what would happen to the world? If they were allowed to go on living the way they live, what would happen to the world? If we weren't here to maintain peace and tranquility and democracy, what would happen to the world? If we weren't sending our tanks and guns and bombs all over the place and waging war against all these people all over the world, what would happen to the world? This is the demonic mentality. If we don't get the profit, who will get it? Some unworthy persons. If we don't have control these resources, who will control them? Some unworthy power lesser than ours, lesser than us. But Arjuna says, let them have it. I would rather be a beggar. That's all right. I could maintain myself by begging. So a sign of detachment. But it's also a sign of confusion. Nachaita vidma. I don't know which is better. I'm confused. Should I live? Should I die? Should I win? Should I lose? Should I fight? Should I walk away? And in the next verse, he'll admit, karpanya dosha. It's my miserly mentality, my weakness of heart, sammuda cheta, my bewilderment, complete bewilderment, of consciousness. So I don't really know. That's actually his position. He's given so many arguments, but his real position is confusion. Real position is confusion. He doesn't know what to do. Go right, go left, and everything seems wrong. If I fight, I won't be able to enjoy. I'll have this kingdom smeared with blood. I'll be standing over the funeral pyres of my grandfather and my cousins and my teacher. I won't be happy. I'll have been sinful. I'll have created so much distress for the women. There'll be no leaders for the family, no one to carry on the family tradition. So he's confused because on the other hand, he knows it's my duty to fight. So he's thoroughly bewildered. And that happens, that a person comes to a position, he doesn't know what to do. Just like sometimes now we find that a student, after so much trouble, his parents have struggled to send him to university, and he's worked so hard, and now he's getting failing grades. And sometimes he commits suicide, he doesn't know what to do. Or in financial crisis, again, sometimes people jump off buildings because they've tried so hard and everyone is depending on them, and now everything has failed. Such things happen. So Arjuna finds himself in such a situation. No good alternatives. Running away is not honorable. Fighting is sinful. There'll be no happiness no matter what I do. And therefore we'll find in the next verse that he has no alternative. He surrenders to Krishna. Shishas teham shadimam tvam prapanyam. Now I surrender to you. You please instruct me. After giving so many arguments, yes, this, that, finally he says, yes, I'm confused. That's his actual position. Some questions. And it's his good fortune that Krishna is there to guide him. If he'd been alone, or if he'd had some chariot driver who was a really good chariot driver, but not more, then he would have, what would have happened? We don't know. Maybe he would have gone off and tried, just left the battlefield and been defamed as a baby, a eunuch, a coward. We don't know what he would have done. Sat on the battlefield and cried until Dhritarashtra just killed him on the spot. Not Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan. We don't know. He was overcome by weakness of heart. And everyone is depending on him. He's the fighter on the side of the Pandavas. Everything is resting on him. Of course, Bhima is there, Yudhisthira is there. But Arjuna, his fighting is crucial. So fortunately, Krishna was there. And Arjuna turns toward Krishna, you please instruct me what to do. Therefore, victory is on the side of Arjuna because Krishna is there. Jayastu Pandaputranam Yasya Pakshe Janardana. The victory is on the side of the Pandavas, on whose side Krishna is. Without Krishna, the whole thing might have ended up in defeat or confusion. But because of the presence of Arjuna and Krishna, everything has come out, will come out victorious. Tatrashir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. There'll be no irreligion. There'll be no misfortune. Arjuna is saying, misfortune will overcome us. Krishna says, Sanjaya says, no, there'll be all good fortune. There'll be all dharma, niti, and vijay. There'll be victory. There was a question on that side. Yeah.
Maharaj, what exactly is the difference between being sentimental and being weak-hearted?
Difference between being sentimental and weak-hearted. Sentimental and weak-hearted are quite similar. There's not a lot of difference. Strong-hearted means ultimately that you know what your duty is and you'll stick to it. Everyone else may stand against you, but if it's your duty, just like that Vibhishana, he may be my brother, he may be whatever, but I'm not going to stand on the side of adharma. Strong-hearted. A strong-hearted person, everybody can oppose him, but he'll stand for the truth. Strong-hearted. And weak-hearted, nobody else is going to go along with me. All right. Weak-hearted. If others are, so in so many ways, just he's offered a bribe. Well, it's only 1 lakh. Well, now he's offered 2 lakhs, okay. Not strong-hearted. Strong-hearted, you can offer me the moon. Even Arjun, even in exchange for the three worlds. So, of course, that's weakness of heart because it's really a ploy. But a man of integrity in exchange for the three worlds. He won't, Bali Maharaj. Whatever, he may take my whole kingdom. I don't care. I've given my word. Sticks to his guns. So here Arjuna appears to be like that. Let them take it. But actually it's his weakness of heart. It's not big, why? It's not based on duty. Sentiment is not bad. But when the sentiment is contrary to duty, it's bad.
Is the affection, how do you draw a line between affection and weak-heartedness?
Whoa, slower, clearer.
How do you draw a line between being affectionate and or weak-hearted?
Affectionate, when your affection makes you go contrary to your duty, then it's weakness of heart. Just like Dhritarashtra, he's the perfect example of weakness of heart. I know, but he's my son. The bodily concept of life. Actually, Prabhupada makes this point that Hridaya Dourbalyam is due to the bodily conception of life. This is the weakness of heart. I'm this body. This is my brother. This is my cousin. This is my this. This is my that. It's already weakness of heart. As soon as I'm thinking I'm this body, I'm in weakness of heart. I've got heart disease. Right. Strong-hearted, when you're on the spiritual platform, you're in strength. And as soon as I identify with this body, I'm in weakness. And that's the ultimate weakness of heart here, that Arjuna is thinking that he's this body. Therefore, weakness. Even though he takes, yes, I will live by begging, it appears to be very strong. I don't need the kingdom. Detachment. But because it's in terms of this body, it's counted as weakness of heart.
Hari Bol. Sorry to repeat the first question, which was... Sorry to repeat the first question, which was when we asked to follow, if you are Kshatriya, to mode of, Ardharma, and if you are Brahman, then those qualities. But then for becoming, going close to Krishna or adopting Krishna consciousness, you need to work towards going to mode of goodness. So.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about it before. I don't have the best of answers today. I don't know that I have a better answer than I had 15 minutes ago. The general progress is from the mode of passion, from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, from the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, from the mode of goodness to the transcendental platform. That's the, therefore one acts according to his prescribed duty so that he can be gradually elevated. But the process of Krishna consciousness is direct. Krishna doesn't say, after all, Arjuna is, you might say, well, this is good. He's going from being a Kshatriya to being a Brahmin. Because of this crisis in his life, he's giving up the mode of passion and he's adopting the mode of goodness. He's going to give up being a fighter and he's going to live like a bhikshu, a sannyasi. So he's going from passion to goodness. So you say, this is very nice. But it's not his duty. And it's not this sudden, all of a sudden, again, when things get rough, let me be a Brahmin. Let me be a Brahmin. He's trained to be a soldier, but when he actually has to shoot, then he thinks, well, actually, my mother always wanted me to be a priest. That's the wrong time to suddenly discover that you really want to be in the mode of goodness. And it's not really that you're in the mode, it's your weak-heartedness. So Arjuna's sudden adoption of brahminical qualities is not approved, and it's not genuine. Krishna says your nature is that you're a kshatriya, and if you don't fight now, you'll fight later. First you'll run away from the battlefield and be disgraced, and then later you'll have to fight anyway, because that's your nature. You know, tiger doesn't change its stripes. You'll fight anyway. So if you're going to fight anyway because of your nature, then why act disgracefully now by giving up the fight? You'll fight later when it's, you know, against someone that's not your brother or not your cousin, but you'll have lost your honor. And for some pavitas yachakirtir maranada tirichite, for an honorable person, that's worse than death. So it's not that Krishna is against the mode of goodness, very good. But it has to be genuinely that a person is coming to the mode of goodness. It has to be appropriately, not that all of a sudden he's coming to the mode of goodness when it suits him for sense. Actually, that's not genuine goodness. When in the 18th chapter, when there's a description of renunciation adopted in terms of trying to avoid difficulty is in the mode of passion. Renunciation and goodness is on the basis of duty. I would like to have this, I would like to do this, but it's not my duty. It's not my duty. Or I don't want to do this, but it is my duty. So that's real renunciation. Renunciation and goodness. But renunciation and passion is, whoa, I don't really want to do this. Let me renounce. Then Krishna says you don't get the benefit of renunciation that way. So this is Arjuna's renunciation, that when his duty becomes too hard, then he wants to renounce. That's not really the standard of detachment. That's not the standard of detachment. Renunciation should be on the basis of duty. Not on the basis of, well, sense gratification or personal considerations. Is that all right? Any other questions? Okay, we can stop here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
This is our time for stopping, yeah? Tishubhi pratiyotsyami pujaha varisubhi.